Life Audio.
It's foundational, the birth of our Savior. Everything that our faith stands upon, this has to be true for our faith to mean anything.
Yeah.
Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Do you believe in life after addiction? You better believe it. Now, the host of Life After Addiction.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, baby.
3 days, 3 days. I love Christmas time so much, man, for so many reasons, but I just like it.
Yeah, dude, you sounded so jovial when you said that. Like, it was genuine. It's like, dude, I like Christmas so much.
I just love this time of year, man. It's my favorite time of year.
I feel you. I
like
the
weather. I like the movies.
I agree.
Hey, knock that off. Is that in the shot? I mean,
we got tape in case y'all wanted to know.
We taped up our hands. We box after this, we don't do that. But speaking of movies, we just had a debate, and I want your opinion. I think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and he laughed at me and
said, "No, it's ridiculous."
Not. What do you mean?
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
No, Die Hard. Yeah, the first Die Hard.
And why would you say it's a Christmas movie?
For many reasons. It's all about Christmas, and even in one part he says, "Ho ho ho! Now I have a machine gun." You remember that part?
No.
When he puts the dude down the elevator and it was one of the terrorist dudes?
No, I don't even know if I've ever seen Die Hard.
Well, then why are you laughing at me, dude? Bruce Willis kills it in
there. I've just never heard in anybody's top Christmas movies them say Die Hard. Look, top three greatest Christmas movies. I'm going Home Alone.
Okay. That's
I'm up going there. The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Wow.
And then I'm going Jingle All the Way.
Wow.
I think that one's classic.
Die Hard, Home Alone.
You can't say Die Hard.
Die Hard, Home Alone, Elf, and The Christmas Story about the Red Ryder BB gun.
Okay.
So that's four, but I mean, those are my favorite. Obviously, three of those I'll watch with the kids. Die Hard I won't, but it is a Christmas movie. It's not about necessarily Christmas, but neither is really. Right. I mean, neither is Elf or The Christmas Story. I mean, it's, right. You know, so. Awesome. Well, hey, speaking of Christmas, we did an awesome thing last night. We went to at the Gaylord Opry Hotel. They had the Polar Express ice version, and you can probably see a little bit here. But when you walk in, man, it's literally you're walking into a freezer. It's 32 or below,
yeah.
But everything was ice. Everything was ice. All the sculptures, everything was ice. It was pretty cool. And it was a theme of the Polar Express, so it was pretty fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I went a few years ago with my parents and my brothers and my niece and nephew, and it was super cool.
Highly recommend if you live in the Nashville area, do that as a date night. If you have kids, take the kids. They had like once you're done with the little thing, they have a gift shop. You can get whatever you want. But then when you go outside, they have like tubing down ice mm-hmm. and stuff and yep. an ice skating ring and some live music. So it was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that hotel is super nice.
Yeah, the lights and the stuff if you go in. I think there's a small fee or it might be free for to walk in.
To the hotel? No, it's free. We've done it before.
So you walk in, but I mean, they've decked it out. I mean, this is the Opry Mills Hotel, our Gaylord Opry Hotel. And it is Christmas trees everywhere, lights everywhere. It's epic.
Yeah.
Maybe we could put some pictures up here if you had some. Or did you take any from when you went?
I did. I think they're still on my phone, so I could probably shoot Jorian some to post.
That'd be pretty awesome. So Christmas time. And so now it's December 19th. No, it's December 22nd when this comes out. So we're 3 days away from Christmas. We want to talk about Christmas.
Yeah.
I think from biblical perspective, obviously, we want to talk about the prophecies of old, but also how it relates to addiction, life after addiction, and why mm-hmm. Christmas is so important and from our perspective when it comes to addiction. So so let's dive in, man. Let's dive in. You want to start or you want me to?
Yeah, I'll start. And like Adam said, we're just going to go through some prophecies and then the fulfillment of those prophecies. I love around Christmas time seeing which prophecies that our Lord and Savior Jesus, his birth, fulfilled from the Old Testament. So the first one we'll talk about is his virgin birth. We see the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14, and Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And for those of us, we know Emmanuel is God with us is what it means. And then we see the fulfillment of that prophecy in Matthew 1:22 and 23. And it says the Gospel of Matthew identifies Jesus's birth to the Virgin Mary as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, which is just, man, whenever you really think about prophecies from the Old Testament and like Jesus being spoken about hundreds and hundreds of years before he was ever here on this earth.
Yeah.
Man, that's such a unique thing about our faith, about Christianity in general, is that, man, the prophecies of Jesus, how many he fulfilled, I think it was what, hundreds?
Oh man, it's a ridiculous amount. And then just so you know, prophecy, and he kind of said it, but when we say the word prophecy, if you're not, if you're, you know, you grow up in church, and we have listeners from all over, man.
Yeah.
You know? Prophecy is basically something foretold. And for this instance, it could be when we're talking about the Old Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, the second member of the Trinity, has not come into taking on flesh yet. He does that in the New Testament. So some of these prophecies are hundreds of years before Jesus arrives. Some of them could be thousands.
Yeah.
But it's just foretelling of the Savior. And so there's so many prophecies, back to your question. I can't remember how many, but there's so many prophecies that have been fulfilled, and then some still to be fulfilled. But so many have been fulfilled by Jesus. I've heard it said that it is the likelihood, mathematically likelihood, the entire state of Texas.
Are you being serious with this, or are you just...
I'm being serious.
Okay.
Is Texas a big state land mass wise?
It's the biggest. No, it's not a big deal. And I wasn't even going to mention it until you brought that up.
Alaska.
But it's the biggest.
I don't know. But it's such a big land mass state that it is like if you filled it up with quarters, 3 feet high, the whole land mass of Texas, 3 feet high, the likelihood of someone randomly going down and grabbing a specific golden quarter out of that that's buried, that's the chances of one person fulfilling all of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Wow. I don't know. Mathematically, I used to know that. I think it's one in, man, I wish I should have brought that up. Can you bring that up? Because as we're talking, the likelihood of one person fulfilling all the prophecies, but it's one and something's dumb.
Yeah. Just that analogy alone is like,
it's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Like
it's crazy.
Only the Lord.
Yeah.
Only the Lord can do something like that.
And before I move on, I want to talk about prophesying that our Savior would come from the house of David, maybe born in Bethlehem. But the virgin birth, man, some of these things are so critical theologically. Well, let's talk about our faith. As a Christian, one of the things, there's different tiers of doctrine, right? There's tier one, and then there's tier two, three, and you know, tier two and three, Ryan and I could disagree on, and we'll shake hands at the end of the day, man. We'll find out in heaven, you know. But tier one doctrine is something that if we disagree on, you know, one of us is not a Christian. And the virgin birth is tier one doctrine.
Yes.
It's so important theologically, not only because the prophecy was fulfilled, but also because of what it means. Jesus entered into the world, into his own creation. Now, when Ryan and I were born, we had a mother and a father. And spiritually, theologically, we inherited sin. From birth, we were sinners. Now, the reason that it's important that Jesus did not have an earthly father, because he did not inherit that sin gene. He was born of a virgin Mary who had never had sex before, and his father was the Father above. So he came into the earth pure. Why is that important? Because as you hear us talk about the gospel, or if you hear the gospel proclaimed, there had to be a perfect sacrifice, perfect offering to the Lord to atone for our sins. Mm. And since he entered into the world without that inherent sin and then lived perfectly, Jesus now was that perfect offering.
Amen. That was well said.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Hey, wow. Almost a new year. Is this a new Ryan?
Well, we're going to find
out. Okay. Well, let me talk about Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. I mean, this is crazy. This is in Micah 5:2. And it says this, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old and ancient times." Now, Bethlehem.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I don't know how to prepare. I don't know how to give an analogy of what Bethlehem would have been today. Do you have that statistic yet? What is it? So here's the statistic. Jordan was looking it up. The statistic of one person fulfilling all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, and it was, how many zeros? Count real quick. So it's one, and he says one and a bunch of zeros. He's going to count them. One and one with 17 zeros behind it.
I don't even know what that is.
Kazillion. I mean, that is incredible, man. That's what I mean. Like the landmass of Texas, quarter stack 2 feet high, and then some blind guy walking through and reaching down randomly and grabbing the one gold coin that was dropped. It's insane. It's absurd. So it's amazing. So anyways, born in Bethlehem in Micah 5:2. That's crazy, right? I mean, to think, I mean, if someone nerds out on stuff like that, man, and you didn't know, man, there is a whole world of this stuff that's available to you. Go and like research, study this stuff. It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's like, you want to talk about miracles. Let's just take five prophecies that came true about one person hundreds of years or thousands of years before. I mean, let's just go to five and see how crazy that is. You'll see that it's still unlikely. It's unheard of.
They said, and that's what I flipped to Isaiah. It says Isaiah prophesied around 740 BC, just to give you a time frame. 740 BC is around the time of Isaiah's prophecy. Micah, I'm not sure when it was written. But
740 would have been 740 years before Jesus was born into this, and when he took on flesh and came into this world. And so being born in Bethlehem, if you're tracking along, you can go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says Jesus was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy. How big of a deal is that? Well, that's a big deal because Bethlehem, that's where I was going. Bethlehem was not like Nashville or Atlanta or New York City or Los Angeles. Bethlehem was like, man, nothing good comes from there. Why in the world would that prophecy happen? And all of a sudden, not only that, but Jesus wasn't in Bethlehem. Jesus's parents, I'm sorry, Mary wasn't in Bethlehem. And so in order to get them there, there was a census that was demanded by in the day that you had to go back to your hometown to be counted. And so, I should have done some of this. I don't want to butcher it. But they were traveling on a pregnant, nine-month pregnant Mary was traveling on a donkey with her husband, Joseph, to go and be counted at the census. Well, the baby was coming, and they stopped in Bethlehem. And if you know the story, it was crowded because everybody was having to go. I think he's going back to Jerusalem. Everybody had to be counted. Everyone was moving at this time because you would have gotten in trouble if you didn't go to the census. And so they stopped at this place, and there was no room in the inn. You know the story. And so in this
stable,
manger. And I've heard different accounts that it was probably actually just kind of a hole in the side of a mountain, kind of a cave type area where animals would gather. Shepherds would put their animals. Probably someone owned that land and said that they could stay there. And so how amazing is that? Yeah. It's like, man, they weren't even there. They weren't even supposed to be there. And yet now in this time, and so prophecy made, prophecy fulfilled.
Yeah, I would encourage even our listeners to, even if you're not a believer, to go back and read on the prophecies of Jesus, you know, of his birth specifically when it pertains to Christmas, and just read how old those scriptures are from the Old Testament and the prophecies about his coming, and then read the fulfillment scriptures found in the New Testament hundreds of years after those prophecies were prophesied. And so it's, man, it's such a unique thing.
Yeah.
There's another one from Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 5. It says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. And we see the fulfillment of that. And that was just talking about a suffering servant, which I guess could be related to Christmas as well, although it's not specifically the birth. It's the life of Jesus, though. And we see that fulfillment in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. This passage is cited in Matthew to explain Jesus's healing ministry.
Yeah. I mean, one of the prophecies was that Jesus would be from the line of David.
Yep.
The importance of that. I think if it was on the screen a second ago, if you go up to two or three, keep going. Messiah from the house of David, Isaiah 11:1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will be fruit. Jesse was King David's father. Why is that important? You hear that?
Yeah.
Where is everybody at? Yeah, so you hear these kids screaming? Come on. Hey, man, we're doing a podcast, baby. We're talking about Jesus. Anyways, I love the sound of children. Man, the prophesied in Isaiah and it's fulfilled. But even just knowing the story and reading the history, and as we, even in this poster, it's a passage from the book of Daniel. Well, Daniel's about how the people of Israel were taken into Babylon. They were taken, and I mean death and decay, and all. There was times that the line of David came down to slim pickings just to get back up to where Jesus was born. It's crazy, man. Like he said, go nerd. I nerd out on this stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but for some reason, this stuff gets me fired up.
Yeah,
and I really like it. So, I think we should dive into from there. How long have we been going? It feels like 2 minutes, but maybe it's been longer. I don't want to like
six.
15 minutes.
Oh,
so this is important, man. This podcast is called Life After Addiction. And so if you're tuning in, more than likely you somewhat relate, whether you know someone, you've gone through addiction, you're wanting encouragement, or right now you're struggling. And I preached on this last night at Catapult as well. But man, Christmas is so important because everything we say at S2L is foundationally, if this Jesus was not born, then everything we say is meaningless. Mm,
that's good.
Everything we say is, we say that there is freedom in who?
Christ.
Christ. Well, that Christ was born, and we celebrate. I don't believe that he was born on the 25th of December necessarily, but that's the day that Christians choose to celebrate it.
Right.
Right? And so what we're celebrating this weekend is the birth of a Savior. You know, I mean, as you see, as later in Jesus's ministry, he's about to enter into his public ministry. He gets baptized by John the Baptist. But when he's walking up to him, John the Baptist looks at him. Here's another prophecy, by the way, or a foreshadow. He looks at him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Man, that's powerful. So as soon as he comes into this public ministry, we hear that this guy is the offering of the Lord who takes away my sin. The reason I say that's a foreshadow, and I think we just talked about this a few episodes ago, was because in Egypt, when Moses came in and the 10 plagues came down, the 10th plague was the angel of the Lord was going to pass over people's houses, and there was going to be, you had to kill a lamb, a perfect lamb, and put the blood above your door, and if so, the angel of death would pass over. That's a Jewish holiday they still celebrate to this day called Passover, but it's this lamb's blood. If it was over your door, you would live. You wouldn't die. Mm-hmm. And then when Jesus comes on and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, what a beautiful thing. And I don't know, man. Christmas, obviously, I'm giddy. I love this time of year. But it's important, man, for what we say is that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That you don't have to identify as an alcoholic, as a drug addict your whole life, because that's not biblical. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that there's freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Mm. Yeah, and like you said, it's foundational, the birth of our Savior. Everything that our faith stands upon, this has to be true for our faith to mean anything.
Yeah.
For a Savior to be born, to live a perfectly sinless life, to die on the cross and raise 3 days later to defeat death, sin, and darkness once and for all, and to reconcile us back to God. If Christmas isn't a thing, if it's not like Adam said, I don't believe the 25th of December is exactly when he was born, but it's when Christians choose to celebrate that. If that's not true, that's when our Lord and Savior was born, man, our faith, it doesn't stand on anything. And we are no longer new creations in Christ. We no longer have freedom from the enslavement of chains or chains and bondages of sin. We no longer have eternal life in Christ if these things are not true. And so yeah. I've seen it to be true. I've encountered the Lord on multiple occasions. I've read the word, man. He's revealed himself to me in the mightiest of ways. I've tested the scriptures and I found it all to be true, and it's radically changed my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I don't know if you misspoke or if I misheard, but you said if he wasn't born in this day, then none of this is true.
Well, if he wasn't born in this
time, yeah. So if these prophecies weren't fulfilled that we just spent the first 5-10 minutes talking about,
yeah.
If that didn't happen, then yeah, we're just speaking nonsense like we kind of think the rest of the world is.
Yeah.
It's baseless. It's just another theory. But no, the Bible says, and we have no one argues that Jesus was not a historical person.
Yes.
Atheists don't say that Jesus,
yeah.
Muslims, you know, obviously Jewish people, and they don't believe that Jesus is, Orthodox Jewish people don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but they believe that he was a person. There's mm-hmm. no one that denies that Jesus was a historical figure. We just happen to read the Word of God and believe that what God says is true, and what God says is true, that this Jesus, the Son of God, entered into the world to take away the sins. And I kind of want to shift, man, because Christmas, holidays in general, can be a really hard time. And so let's speak to that. We don't necessarily have to make this a long episode, but if you're struggling, man, if you're actively using or drinking, you're probably, and maybe this is just stepping all over your toes, but you are probably dreading or even planning on how not to go or to exit quickly any kind of family gathering. One, because you're high, you don't want to nod out. You're drinking, you don't want people to smell it on you, you don't want to be drunk, or you don't have dope and you're withdrawing and you don't want to deal with that. Man, there is a way. There's hope from that. There is actual hope that you could go to a family gathering without a substance. I'm not saying that family gatherings are always going to be fun without substance, yeah. But you could go without being a slave to something. You can go and observe the room and talk with people and look people in the eye without having to do anything beforehand, man, without that shame. There is hope from that.
Yeah, I mean, holidays were always tough for me when I was in active addiction because, you know, you're going to be around all your family who you've tried to avoid probably for many years now within your addiction. And so going over to grandma's house or mom and dad's house and, you know, all your family asking you how you're doing and, you know, you're not doing well at all, there's a lot of shame and guilt and condemnation associated with those things. And so it just really drives you deeper into that pit. But what I would say, man, is it requires a humility yeah. to really reach out and seek the help you need. 9 times out of 10, everybody in your family already knows. And we're the only ones fooling ourselves. We think that we're getting one over on everybody, and they may know a little bit, but they don't know to the extent it is. And it's so shameful that if I were to say that I need help, then what would they think of me? And it's like, man, the reality is they already know. They're just waiting on you to ask for help, to yeah. do what is right, to humble yourself and say, hey, I can't do this alone. I need help. And that's okay, but that's a place that each of us has to come to. If you could have beat this yourself, you know, you would have done it by now. I told myself for years and years and years, I got this. A weak man would ask for help, man. I got this under control. Eventually, at some point and sometime and someday, I'm going to overcome this with my own strength and willpower. And man, it just wasn't the case. You know, a strong man is one who admits that, man, he needs help, one who admits he can't do this on his own, one admits he needs somebody to walk with him through this, somebody who's seen the other side of addiction and knows how to overcome these things. But yeah, holidays were always extremely rough for me. It was something I didn't desire. Hey, Ryan, how you doing? What's going on in your life? It's like, man, yeah. Let me tell you about a bunch of death, darkness, and sin that's going on in my life. And so you would just wear that mask. But I got tired. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got to a place of like, man, I can either choose to humble myself and admit to the loved ones around me that I need help and know that they'll support me in getting the help I need, or I can just wallow in my pity and shame and nothing ever come of it.
Yeah, man. And let me read this real quick, man. And I just encourage you, if you're a father or mother or someone like that with young kids, and my mentor does this, and this is something that I've taken on since my kids have been born. But I just encourage you, and I want to read this with you now, but every morning, Christmas morning, I think it's important before you open gifts, before, you know, we talk about Santa or whatever, I think it's important to read this over your family. And so it's from Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 8, but if you go 1-7 talks about, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be registered. There should be a census, kind of what we talked about. Joseph also went up from Galilee, a town called Nazareth, to Judah. And then so it kind of goes there. But in verse 8, it says this: "And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." You remember a couple episodes ago, maybe last episode, we talked about what an angel was and how there's great fear just in seeing them, and that we're called to judge angels.
Yeah.
Sorry, there's a little callback. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For unto you a baby is born." For unto you a baby is born. Man, and to the person that maybe isn't an active addiction, but kind of like the last episode we talked about, maybe you're in the carnal man. Maybe you're dealing with sin. You're feeling the depression. You're feeling the accusations from the enemy that you are a fraud. Maybe your family, you're fresh out of rehab, or maybe it's been a year and you're still not trusted by certain people. Whatever that may be, man, what a season that we're in. Because listen, the truth is that you are a fraud. You're a fraud. I'm a fraud. I can't, but he did.
Amen.
That's the truth. And so when those accusations come in, when depression starts to come in, when you start to feel the weight of people judging you because of your past, when all of these things are bringing you to a pit of despair, here's what you do. Ready? You say to the enemy, you say to your own flesh, you say to your head, you say to all of the darkness, all of the thoughts, you take them captive and you say, "Merry Christmas, for unto us a child was born." Merry Christmas. And man, there's this cool meme that I've seen that, like, it takes "for unto us a child was born," or "is given." "For unto us a child was given." "For given." And it highlights those two words. And I'll have you put it up here. I'll send it to you. But man, Merry Christmas, dude. That's why this is so important when you're dealing with addiction, because all of these things that are coming in your head, and all you have to do, and what a time to do it. You could say it year round, but all you have to do, especially now, and kick the devil in the teeth. Merry Christmas. I can't, but he did. For unto us a child was given, man, to take away the sins of the world.
That's good, man. I don't know if I have anything to add
that,
but yeah, it's Merry Christmas, man. For unto us a child is born. It's a good word. Yeah, anybody out there struggling, man, I know for whatever reason, we as humans, whenever a new year comes, it's like the new year, new me. We joke about it on here all the time. But I think there is something significant that comes with the new year, and we do a lot of reflection towards the end of our years.
Yeah.
And if you're in that place and you're doing some honest reflection of self, and you're not in the place that you desire to be, and you wish you were somewhere else, and you feel like you've lost so many years, and you're so far behind, and, you know, going back to school or getting a new job or making more money or doing whatever the thing that you desire to do are just so far-fetched that, man, there's just no point in even trying anymore. Man, do something different than you've ever done and reach out to somebody. Everybody has somebody. I truly believe that. Whether it's a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a cousin, an aunt and uncle, a grandma, a grandpa, reach out to a loved one in your life and just say, "Hey, I need help."
Yeah.
Like, I've been struggling with whether it's alcohol, porn, lust, drugs, whatever the case may be, and humble yourself before a loved one and say, "I need help. Is there anything you can do?" You can email us at info@springtolife.net. Reach out to us if you're someone who's struggling and just wants direction. Maybe it's not coming to our program, but we can give you resources and provide resources of places that may be able to help you locally.
For sure. So hopefully you see why it's so important, man, because without this Jesus being born, we don't believe that there is true freedom. The world already tells you that you're always going to be an addict or an alcoholic. But because of this Jesus being born and conquering sin and death, taking our sin, allowing us to have his spirit alive and at work in us, he gives us ways of escape from temptation. He gives us power to put to death the carnal man. He gives us fruits of his spirit. We could say Merry Christmas, and we could say that there's freedom from addiction. I did want to say, we do have a new member that has joined. Jordan's looking up his name. He recently joined, and if you don't know about our membership, there's a button that says join, and I get weird about doing this, but if you join, it really is, there's some perks, there's some things that you get. Richard Stanley Jr., thank you so much, man. One of the perks is we call you out on the podcast. Man, you are sowing into this ministry. We really appreciate it. You get a percentage off of the merch on our store at S2L.net. You get a shout out. You get a few other things, but it's really not about the perks. When you join, I think it's $2.99 a month.
Yeah.
When you do that, you're just sowing into this ministry of Life After Addiction. It really means a lot to us. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the new year. No, we won't. It'll be before the new year. Let's see. It'll be the 29th. We'll see you right before the new year, and that's Life After Addiction. Merry Christmas. You better believe it. Let's go.
Come on.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Life After Addiction. Life After Addiction is a production of S2L Studio. For more Christ-centered addiction recovery resources, please visit S2L.net. That's S2L.net. For more information about S2L's licensed and accredited residential program, please visit S2LRecovery.org. That's S2LRecovery.org.
We want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the Life After Addiction podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of their faith-centered podcasts and their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and much more. Thank you so much for listening today, and God bless.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.